Thanks for tuning in for Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Purcell. The newest issue of Cincinnati Magazine with big ideas on the cover is on newsstands now. And in that November issue of Cincinnati Magazine is an article by Gene Galvin called Hogs Gone Wild. Ohio's feral pigs are headed this way. And Gene's here in the studio to tell me about these hogs gone wild. Good morning, Gene.
Hey, good morning, Mark. How you doing?
I've heard of, these feral hogs before. I know they're big down in Texas and all. I didn't realize that they're encroaching here in Ohio.
Oh, they found their way pretty much everywhere. 36 states have what the government people call a breeding population. Probably all states have some, a few. But if you get the breeding population, they're like the kudzu of animals. So it's an invasive species. Came here in the 1500s. Hernando de Soto brought them as a food source as Spaniards came to kind of explore North America. Then in the 1890s, more came with these high-fence game preserves, entrepreneurs, hunting lodges.
Yeah, Russian boars.
Russian boar, Eurasian boar. And then you have, I'm quickly telling you the sources of these things. A third source would be pigs that were on a farm. Farmer goes out of business, releases them into the woods. Or a pig gets off the farm, goes into the woods, goes feral. Grow shaggy hair, tusks. All this stuff happens in time if they go feral. So now these three kinds of pigs are hooking up, quote unquote, out in the woods. And the problem is they breed. Within the first year of life, 6 months old, these pigs are breeding, and they can have two litters per year. So the explosion of procreation is exponential.
So truly like kudzu.
Absolutely. And then they find their ways, especially if you have these high-fence hunting lodges, they're going to get into any state where a lodge is set up.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're just finding their way all over the country. As I say, 36 states have these breeding populations where now they're out of control. Ohio, by the way, is at the tipping point. According to Craig Hicks, a USDA source that I interviewed multiple times, a great guy, and he's kind of the U.S. government point guy working with the Ohio Department of Natural Resources to try to stop them in Ohio. And trust me, as it says in the article, he wants them gone. This is a fight they're in to win. Now, there are some questions about whether Ohio is doing enough. Questions I can ask as a reporter. I mean, what
right.
do I know? Because I know that down in Texas, man, they come in with helicopters. They pop the doors off of helicopters. One guy flies. I interview guys that did this. One guy sits in the doorway with a shotgun. They get him on a run across a ranch or through a cornfield, and they're shooting him from the back, getting them picking off one by one. The guy that I interviewed says he has shot thousands of them.
Wow.
And then they give them away to indigent people who come, according to radio broadcasts. Hey, on Saturday, we'll be at blah, blah, blah ranch. If you want a pig, that would be for food because it's really good eating. Then come and, you know, line up and we'll give you a pig per person in the line. So Texas is shooting them by the air. Michigan has banned them totally. They're saying to the entrepreneurial hunting lodges, if we find that you have one, they gave them fair warning. We will fine you heavily per pig that we see. So in Michigan, they're totally banned.
Wow. And it's not just that they breed like rabbits, shall we say,
yes.
but it's the damage that they do.
Billions of dollars. I'm a backpacker. I've backpacked my whole life. I love to be out in the backcountry, so to speak. And I have backpacked a lot across the country. And if you go down on the Appalachian Trail, let's say south, I've never seen one in the backcountry. Still, I've never seen one. But I have seen, long ago, I saw these areas along trails, and I'd say to my buddies, we're hiking, what the heck is this? Hillsides that were just totally tore up. And it's the rooting of the wild boar. They'll go in, they'll root up, they're digging for plants, all food sources. Plus, they create wallows, which are sometimes like 300 square feet areas of wet, concave indentations where they'll just sort of hang out. And by the way, they're very hard to hunt because they're very smart.
I was about to say, you know, that's the other thing. They
very
have no
smart.
Natural predators
no.
necessarily.
So
and
they know,
they're not stupid.
For example, to go into the densest part of the forest. And as I say, I'm a backpacker in there and I bushwhack a lot in Alaska because there are no trails. But there are areas we don't go, not because we're afraid of animals. You can't get through it. It's just too thick.
Yeah.
These animals know to go and burrow down into these dense thickets where no one will go. So you can't go find them in the daytime. You might happenstance run across one like Bob Beck, a developer in Cincinnati, riding his horse one day on his property in Goshen, and he comes upon this wild-looking animal. He frankly told me, I quote him in the article, he says, it was scary. He got the heck out of there on his horse. But he had come face-to-face with one back in the woods in an opening. But more often than not, you'll never see him. So you got to go after him at night, which is what I did with Brian Hughes, heavily quoted in the article, this ex-Marine out in Gallia County. And we went out in this four-wheel drive pickup truck, parked it, went into a cornfield where there was evidence that boars had been in there. Got up on a hillside with his 30-06. I had a .454. I wasn't going to shoot him from up that distance with that. But we thought we might end up down in the cornfield shooting it out because sometimes they won't leave. You shoot one, and sometimes if one's wounded, the others will stick around. And so, and it turns out that night, we were there till 3 in the morning. We didn't see any. But he got one 4 days before, 4 days after. So if I was out there constantly, as he says, you got to put in the time.
Right.
We would have gotten one. But you have to go out at night and stake out a food source. Or here's the other way that they're doing in Ohio. The hunters hook up with the farm owners. They allow you, the hunter, to come onto their property. You go in. Brian Hughes has done this. You build a cage, which he's done, 4 foot by 4 foot by 8 foot. They cook up some sour corn mash. They put it in the trap. They set the door open and condition the pigs to come in for several days to eat the corn mash, which they love. And then on the last day, the door is set electronically, got a whole battery system that closes up. And then they've got them in there, and then they can come back and shoot them. And the only motive for the hunters is the food source.
Right. So, nope. The pelts aren't any good. I mean, they're shaggy. They're ugly things. Yeah. Big tusks
right,
and
right.
stuff.
Worthless. So we stood in this guy's, the guy's whose farm, whose corn yard we staked out. We stood in his barnyard one night as the sun was setting before we went out to hang out for till 3 in the morning, Brian Hughes and I. But we're talking to the farmer, and the three of us are standing sort of a barnyard think tank, you know, a backcountry thing. Like, well, what can we do better than this? What can we do more? What we're doing is fine. And what could we do more? And we thought, the three of us thought, well, why couldn't we give like tax credits to these hunters for their expensive third generation infrared scopes, or get the federal government and state government to allow them to bring their ATVs, their four-wheel drive motorcycles, onto parkland and public land to haul in these 50-gallon drums of this corn mash? Because now when they try to do that, they get ticketed.
Yeah.
And they're out trying to do what the USDA wants done. So there could be some cooperation set up. So I don't know. Ohio, I think, probably needs to look at the ban, because there are out in Adams County, for example, there are some concessionaires out there with hunting lodges. You can go on the internet and you'll see that they advertise, come out and get wild boar.
Yeah.
So we are kind of inviting people to come in as free enterprise systems to go at these boars, but they're bringing them in for the purpose of making money to have people go out and shoot them, and then some of those pigs sneak off and add to the problem.
And it's not just the damage and the fact that they are, you know, highly reproductive, but disease, too,
disease.
That would affect some of our livestock.
True. Pseudo-rabies. There's like 50, 60 diseases that they spread to both animals and potentially people. The damage they do, by the way, they will tear up cornfields. They will kill farm animals. They'll destroy very fragile ecosystems. They'll mess up water sources that other animals that aren't invasive need downstream. And it's calculated to be across the country in billions of dollars. And the disease, by the way, Craig Hicks, he works with Brian Hughes, the hunter. They know each other. And Brian will call him and say, hey, he'll call him on his cell at home. Craig Hicks told me this. Like 2 in the morning, say, we just got one. Where are you? We're in Gallia County, blah, blah, blah. Here are the GPS coordinates. I'm coming. Craig Hicks jumps in his four-wheeler, and he's got his bags packed in the back with all his sampling gear. This guy's a biologist, disease biologist guy. He'll run down there, and he says he's got a couple of hours to draw the sample of blood to look for these diseases and to hustle back to his lab to put him into the centrifuges. And he says it's all bound by time. But these guys are working together, and Craig Hicks is the guy that's checking for the diseases to see if some animals in a certain area, they're called sounders, that's a family of these wild pigs, are potentially carrying the disease. If they are, then they've got to eradicate them even faster.
Gene Galvin, whose article Hogs Gone Wild is in the November issue of Cincinnati Magazine. A fascinating and very scary story here.
They're coming to Eastgate Mall, I'm telling you, man. We got to set up a fire line out on 32.
Well, you can learn more about the feral pigs heading into Ohio or here already in the November issue of Cincinnati Magazine. You'll find a link at our website, wvxu.org. Always a pleasure, Gene.
Likewise. Thank you, Mark.